All right, 1 John chapter 2. John says in verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. You know that teaching of the Bible is the one area in life, the only one. It's the one area in life where people think that truth is relative. It's the one area people think you can hear lies preached and yet still believe the truth. Now, if somebody possessed a large amount of money and you claim that money was yours, their money was yours, then the truth would matter. But when it comes to the Scriptures, when it comes to the things of God, how is it that a weak, impotent Jesus can be preached who's nothing like the Jesus of this Bible, and men know the Jesus of this Bible who does as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? How are you going to preach a weak, impotent Jesus who can't do anything except a sinner allows Him to, and yet know the true Lord Jesus of this Bible? How's that going to be? Well, God says it can't be done. God says you cannot preach a lie and men know the truth. He said this in Romans 10:13. He said, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? It's an impossibility. You can't believe on somebody you've never heard of. It's an impossibility. Now, throughout the Scriptures, God the Father is called the God of truth. That's what He's called throughout the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. When He showed Moses His glory, that's one thing He showed about Himself, that He's the God of truth. A God of truth. And God is God that cannot lie. Titus 1:2 says that. He's God that cannot lie. He has no need to lie. He's not a man that He should lie. Whatever He's purposed, He can bring it to pass. So He doesn't have to promise us one thing and then lie about it. Or, you know, be deceitful about it. Six things He hates. You know what the second thing listed is? A lying tongue. A lying tongue. He's the God of truth. And Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is Himself the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And what He's saying there is, no man can come to God the Father except through the truth. That's the only way. And Christ is the truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. And the church is called the ground, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's the church. The Scriptures are called the Scriptures of truth. The Word of truth. And the God of truth says, right here in our text, no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. Truth is not relative. This is what I want you to get tonight. Truth is not relative. You know, people will say, well, you tell them what Scriptures say and tell them this is what I believe. And they'll say, well, that works for you, but let me tell you what works for me. No, no. What this book says, this is the only truth there is from the only God of truth there is. Truth's not relative. Truth is not relative. Our subject tonight is no lie is of the truth. Now, the first thing John tells us here is by the unction that the Holy One gives to His people, by being born of Him and being given this anointing, this unction that we have of the Holy One, it makes us know the truth and to know that no lie is of the truth. He says there in verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know all things. Knowing Christ, you know all things. And when you hear the gospel, you recognize it. You know it when you hear it. And he says, I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. That's two things this anointing teaches us. It teaches us the truth, and teaches us no lie is of the truth. No lies of the truth. That tells us why so many people think that you can preach a lie and still believe the truth of the Bible. It's because they don't have this unction. When you have this unction, you know the truth and you know that no lies of the truth. Look down at verse 27. The anointing which you've received of Him, He says there is truth and is no lie. Is truth and is no lie. Now, the truth can only be known one way, by God revealing the truth to us. That's the only way we can know the truth. God has to reveal it. It has divine revelation. God has to teach us the truth. That's the only way we can know it. And the God of truth does not save through lies. He saves only through truth. Scripture says all His works are done in truth. All His works are done in truth. No lie is of truth. No lie is of the God of truth. Before this world was ever made, in eternity, God purposed, He determined who He would save, and He purposed that He would save them through the belief of the truth. Listen to the Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The truth. Just one. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Christ. So He determined who He would save, and He determined that they would be saved through the belief of the truth before He ever made anything. And so in time, when the Lord sends forth the gospel, He sends that gospel in truth. When He sends it to one of His elect, one of those that He redeemed, who's still lost, He's going to send them the truth. Because no lies of the truth, so He's going to send them the truth. His preachers go preach the truth. That's what He said. I will give you pastors after My own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Do you think the man who stands up and preaches that Christ tried and failed, that He didn't really redeem His people, that He didn't accomplish it? Do you think that man is after God's own heart? Is that a man after God's own heart? Is that a man who's feeding His people with knowledge and truth? I give you to understand, Paul said, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. He can't call the blood of Christ common. He can't say Christ's blood was shed for everybody, but it didn't really redeem anybody. He can't call Jesus a curse, not speaking by the Spirit of God. And it's only by the Spirit of God that a man can call Him Lord and bow to the Word of God in truth and preach it in truth. And the Lord doesn't use liars. Listen to this from Jeremiah 23:32. Better yet, let's go over there and read it. Jeremiah 23:32. Look at this. Look at verse 30. Let's start verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? It breaks that hard heart in pieces. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. They claim God said what he didn't say. He said, behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. That narrows down, right now in our day, that narrows down those Christ has sent and those he hasn't sent, doesn't it? It narrows it down. Those he sent is going to preach the truth. And the God of truth regenerates his people through the truth. James said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Not lies, with truth. If it was lies, it would be a corruptible seed. A corrupt seed. This is the word that's incorruptible, whereby the gospel's preached unto you. This is the incorruptible seed, the word of truth by which we're born again. And the God of truth sanctifies his child through the truth. When our Lord interceded for his people, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what he said. That's how we're sanctified, through the word of truth. What are we sanctified from? Lies. And it's going to take the truth to separate us from lies. You can't separate a person from lies by telling them lies. It's got to be the truth. And the God of truth brings his child to believe the truth as it is in Christ. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's what Christ said. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he'll show you things to come. He shall glorify me, Christ said. He's going to receive of mine. He's going to hear from me. And I'm going to dictate to the Holy Spirit what to declare to you. And he's going to show it unto you. He's going to guide you into all truth. Because he's the Spirit of truth. The Word says we only know the truth when we've learned Christ. And by hearing him, and having been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's how we know. And the Scripture says, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It's not good news if it's not true. It's only the gospel if it's true. So those that are born of God, those that are taught of God, they've been separated out by truth. They believe the truth of the gospel of Christ. And this is what makes us renounce the hidden things of darkness and not use craftiness and half-truths. This is what makes us declare the truth. Because we believe the truth. We've been saved by the truth. We know the truth is the only thing God uses. We know and believe by the unction we've been given that we are sinners and we have no ability in ourselves to earn righteousness. We don't even have ability to give ourselves life and repentance and faith in Christ. It's all of God. And he's the one who regenerates us. And he's the one who brings us to Christ. And Christ is the only one by whom the law has been fulfilled in righteousness, by whom we're made the righteousness of God and accepted of God. Only Christ. And we believe this because Christ's book teaches it. That's right. And he's taught us in our heart through this unction. And so now we don't take some experience that we've encountered in the past and try to use that as the filter whereby we determine whether or not what we're hearing is the truth. If you do that, you're going to fall away and be led away into lies. No, we use only the Word of God. This is what we use, only the Word of God. Sometimes a lie is mixed with an element of truth, and so it's difficult to discern it. The Lord said if it was possible, they would deceive the very elect. It's not possible, but He said if it were, that's how difficult it is to discern sometimes, because truth is mixed with it. But remember this now, what He's telling us here is nothing false, no deception, no compromise, no half-gospel is truth. It's not truth. No lie is of the truth. It's not of the God of truth. Now, that's the first thing we know by this unction. We know the truth, and we know no lies of the truth. And then secondly, we know that no lies of the truth because the Holy Spirit has taught us who a liar is. He says there in verse 22, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Before God, before the eyes of God, and before the eyes of His believing people, the test, the touchstone is, what think ye of Christ? Christ is everything. He's saying there, Christ is how we determine whether or not somebody's preaching the truth. What are they saying about Christ? Some people deny Christ by denying who He is. There are people in our day right now who deny who He is. They will not say the Lord Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. They won't say that. They won't say He's the eternal Son of God, one with the Father. They've even rewritten the Bible, their Bible, so that it doesn't say that. He said, "I and my Father are one." His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the express image of God. That's who Christ is. And that's the gospel He declared. That's the truth He declared. That's who He is. He's the only prophet, priest, and king of His people. The only mediator between God and His people. But some people deny who He is. Then some people deny what He accomplished. This is more common. People deny what He accomplished. Christ Jesus didn't die for all sinners, without exception, so that He only made salvation available. That's not the Christ of this Bible. That's a lie, and no lies of the truth. He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." That's what He said. "I lay down my life for the sheep." And He looked square in the face at some people that day and said, "You don't believe me because you are not my sheep." He was saying, "I'm not laying down my life for you. I haven't given you the Spirit. I'm not even done anything for you. If I had, you'd believe like my sheep do." He prayed to the Father, and He said, "Father, I pray not for the world. I pray for them that Thou hast given me." You think He would lay down His life for people for whom He would not pray? He said, "I don't pray for the world." Scripture says, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." He only laid down His life for those He loved. He didn't lay down His life for those He hated. That's the true Christ. That's the truth of this Bible. Truth is not relative, brethren. Christ laying down His life for the sheep does not mean that He laid down His life for the goats. It can't mean both. Either He laid down His life for the sheep and He did not lay down His life for the goats, or else He lied. But He's the God of truth. He cannot lie. And Christ died only for the elect and accomplished their salvation, just like Scripture said He would. Why is His name Jesus? Why is He even called Jesus? Remember what the angel said? He should be called Jesus, for He shall, without a doubt, save who? His people. From what? From their sins. That's why He's called Jesus. This Jesus that men are speaking about, who didn't save His people from their sins, who's depending on men to let Him save them, His name doesn't even mean the same thing as the Jesus of this Bible. That's not a Savior. He's Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Daniel said 70 weeks are determined upon who? Upon thy people. Thy people. Thy holy city. What did He accomplish? He finished the transgression. He finished the transgression. He made an end of sins. He made reconciliation for iniquity. He brought in everlasting righteousness. He sealed up the vision and prophecy, and He anointed the Most Holy. The Lord Jesus Christ manifests the righteousness of God by upholding the law of God and honoring the law of God by His obedience unto the death of the cross. That's what He did. He declared God just and the justifier of everyone that's brought to believe on Christ. That means those that He brings to believe on Christ, we're not going to glory in our faith and say our faith is what justified us. We're going to glory in God and say it was only God that justified us. It's Christ that died. He alone justified us. He accomplished what He came to accomplish. The Scripture said, now at the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And that's what He did. That's what He did. How is iniquity purged? There's only one way. By mercy and truth meeting together. Mercy and truth. There's a Scripture that tells us the law of God, His commandment, is only fulfilled in truth and in righteousness. It has to be fulfilled in truth. And Christ is the only one who fulfilled the law of God in truth. And He did it for His people. So that now mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It's by mercy and truth that iniquity is purged. It's by fear of the Lord that men depart from evil, that they depart from lies. When He gives you a fear of the Lord and He saved you by the truth, you can't stomach to hear lies spoken against your Redeemer anymore. You just cannot stand it. You can't sit under that anymore. There's a difference. There's a marked difference made in what you can and cannot hear. Then some people deny the Lord because they deny where He is now and what He's doing now. They deny Him for who He is, they deny Him for what He accomplished, and they deny Him for where He is now and what He's doing now. He's just as powerful right now as He was when He walked this earth. In fact, He's more powerful because all power is given to Him over all in this world and the world to come as the God-man. And so, He's sending forth His gospel in truth, because He can. And He's sending forth the Holy Spirit to regenerate those that He brings under the sound of the gospel, so that they are brought to worship God in spirit and in truth, because He can. He's the sovereign Savior. He does not fail. Now, anybody who compromises, denies, or takes away any aspect of His deity, of His humanity, of His office, of His work, or His glory, denies Christ. And he's a liar, and he's an antichrist. That's what the book said. That's what the book said. No lie is of the truth. Christ said liars are of the devil, and there's no truth in the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, and when he speaks of his own self. He doesn't get it from God, and neither do the people who speak lies. They're preaching, and we read there where the Lord said, I didn't send them, I didn't give them that word to preach. They're preaching of themselves, just like the devil. And Christ said, they're children of the devil. That's not too hard. I'm going to tell you why it's not too hard. Our Redeemer taught us that. That's why it's not too hard. It's true. Anything that's true is not hard. It's truth. And we bow to it. We bow to it. Now lastly, we know that no lies of the truth because of the truth that we've heard from the beginning. It abides in us and it causes us to continue in the truth. The truth we heard from the beginning abides in us and causes us to continue in the truth. And this is how we know that no lie is of the truth. Look at that at verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. It's a certainty. It's a certainty. Look here. And this is the promise that He's promised us. And He can't lie, remember. This promise is true. And this is the promise He's promised us, eternal life. Look at verse 27. The anointing which you've received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. You know the truth. We're not starting over here and telling you something you don't know. You know it. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, then you shall abide in Him. Now, He says, if that which you heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Now, this is important. This is very important. The Apostle Paul's beginning was not when he was with the Pharisees, and when he was teaching lies, and promoting lies and persecuting the Lord's people. That's not when his beginning was. You hear people all the time say, well, and they will expose what people preach and believe and say that it's a lie. And then they turn around and call them a brother and a sister in Christ. Don't throw that word around lightly. Not everybody is a brother and a sister in Christ. Scripture says they speak not according to this word, there's no truth in them. Period. Christ makes His people speak the truth. No, Paul's beginning was when Christ called him in spirit and in truth. That's when the beginning was. And brought him to hate that he once rejoiced in. And put no confidence in anything that he once rejoiced in. That's when his beginning was. The believer's beginning is not when he's hearing lies and worshiping his will and his works. That's not his beginning. The beginning is when the Spirit has sent the truth of the gospel to you and made you hear it and given you repentance in your heart from all those vain works and from all that confidence you had in yourself. That's when your beginning starts, when He brought you to faith in Christ. That's the beginning. And that's important now because He's not saying that everybody has begun who's sitting under lies and putting some confidence in their works. They hadn't even begun yet. They don't have the unction of the Spirit. But you who have begun, you who have heard the gospel and been granted repentance and brought to faith in Christ, He says if this same unction, this same Word of God, this same Spirit of truth and Word of truth abides in you, then with all certainty, you're going to continue in the truth of the Father and the Son. You'll continue in Him. When the Apostle John said, hold to that which you've heard from the beginning, he's saying what he preached in truth. That's what he's telling them to hold to. Paul told, the Lord said, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, believer, whatever you do, continue in this gospel of truth. Continue in this word of truth. Do not ever, under any circumstances, give ears to lies. That's what John is encouraging these saints to do. That's what he's encouraging us to do. There's many antichrists that's gone forth. There's many out there. He said, I'm speaking concerning them that seduce you. There's a lot of them out there. And he says, but you continue in the word that you heard from the beginning. If it had power to save you in the first hour, if there was power in Christ and Him crucified to turn you from all your vain works and bring you to the feet of the Christ, then why wouldn't we just keep preaching Christ and Him crucified? Why would we think that there's bigger and better and move on to something else if that's the message by which we were saved?
But he said, Christ said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you'll bring forth much fruit. But if you don't abide in him, you'll wither away like a branch that's not connected to the tree. And just die. It's only being connected to him. So continue in this work. Proverbs 3:3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And Christ has promised us here, right here in this scripture, that our continuing in the truth is not going to be of us. Now we, as Spurgeon said, we ought to continue in the truth as if it all depended on us, as if it all depends on us to do it. But as you do that, know this, it's going to be the Lord that's making you continue. He says there, this same anointing that's taught you from the beginning, taught you all things, is truth and is no lie. And this, even as it's taught you, you shall abide in him. That's literally one thing he teaches you, is to abide in Christ. And so you're going to do it. This is irresistible. You're going to do it. Thus saith the Lord, I'm returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. That's his church. The true church of God is a city of truth. That's right, it's a city of truth. God said, they shall be my people, and I'll be their God in truth and in righteousness. Concerning heaven, you know what Scripture says about heaven? There shall in no wise enter into it anything that maketh a lie. Absolutely nothing. It says, without are them that loveth and maketh a lie. Without. Cast out. The thing that distinguishes the truth from delusion, the thing that distinguishes truth from delusion is faith believes the truth of God while delusion believes the lies of the devil. That's the difference. That's the difference. They receive not what? The love of the truth that they might be saved. And for that reason, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe what? A lie and be damned. So what I'm saying more importantly, what John is teaching here by the Spirit of God is this. It is a rare and precious thing to have the gospel preached to us in truth. It's a rare thing. It's a rare, rare thing. It's not everywhere, brethren. It's just not everywhere. The mingling works with it for sanctification. They're bringing men back under the law. They're teaching morality. They're doing all these things. And I had a young man at Danville actually say this to me. And I've been sending everything to him, the notes and the bulletins and everything. He was so kind and he had such a good spirit about him. But he said, you know, he quoted Hebrews. He said, don't we move on past Christ? He said, you know, we don't lay again the foundation. We move on to strong meat. Well, but when we move on to stronger meat, we're still going to preach Christ. And we're still going to preach His beauty and His glories and His work and His accomplishment. And we're going to preach our nothingness. We're not going to move an inch from that. We're going to still preach that even when we're talking about things that are stronger meat. But we don't move from Christ. We don't move from Christ. So continue in the gospel of truth, brethren. This is our motive right here. He's put us together in His church, and this is our motive to forgive one another. This is our motive to lay aside differences and to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. There's just one God and one Spirit and one faith and one baptism. There's just one truth. And it's not everywhere. He just has not put His gospel everywhere. So unless I'm prepared to move to where I can hear the gospel somewhere, then I need to I need to forgive and forget and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit so I can have it in this place. So this Word abides in me, continues in me, and so Christ keeps me. That's what He's saying. I pray that's the heart He give us, because this is what we need. We need the gospel more than we need our daily bread. All right, amen.